Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Don't forget, you can listen, watch, and interact with Twitch.tv. All your local shows on ESPN 1000. The website is Twitch.tv, or you can download the Twitch app and follow us. Make sure you follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's all brought to you by your friends at Rep's Place in Rolling Meadows and Miller Lite. I don't know if you guys, I sent this to Danny earlier today. And we're going to play you some of the Theo from Cap. My over-under, Black, you've worked with Cap for many years now, was 7:08. 7:08 a.m. was my over-under as to when he would announce when his alarm clock woke him up.
Ooh.
And Danny took the over, which I thought...
No shot.
That
no
was
shot.
A rookie move by Danny.
No shot.
And I think the actual result was by 7:04 he announced it.
Yeah, I would have guessed closer to the first thing he said.
Yes.
Like, welcome into the show. I set my alarm clock for this time.
So what time did he get up? I was going to say, when was the first take that issued?
So well, we set the over-under yesterday at 7:04 for the first take that, and the over came in at 7:07.
7:07. Mm-hmm. He probably set the alarm for about 2:16. He got in a good hard lift. Then he took the dogs out for a big walk.
Right, right.
They were 4-mile walk.
Took them to your house. In let the them dark. Excuse themselves in your lawn.
You know it, yeah. Then he
dropped
went to
off a pie or maybe a cake on your doorstep.
Yep. Then he stopped off somewhere for a really good cup of coffee.
Right, right.
Then he went downtown for another hard lift.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he walked into the station at 5:02. That was my prediction.
That sounds about right. It sounds like a typical day.
What did he say his wake-up time was?
I don't know.
You weren't awake at the time.
I wasn't awake then, no. I had a rough morning here at the house.
Did you? What happened?
We're trying to repair some of the woodpecker holes.
Excuse me?
Woodpecker holes, and then the person
where?
Who's repairing
inside
them.
Inside the house or outside the house?
Outside the house. Oh, okay. And then we're trying to hang some of the distractions up there, and he made it look like it was like a Christmas decoration.
Who's he?
Now. The person.
The woodpecker guy?
Woody? Yeah, the what do you call him?
Woody the woodpecker guy.
He's like a contractor. Contractor.
He's a woodpecker contractor.
He's not a woodpecker. He's a contractor.
Put that on your card. Hey, what did you do? I'm a woodpecker contractor.
Not only that, Braxton woke up today, went to the fridge, ate 4 popsicles this morning.
Yes! All right. Way to go.
Half of them were all over Mason's.
Man.
Like, it's one of those mornings. I pooped myself.
What?
So that, yeah, I mean, look, it's 2 days after chemo. What do you want from me?
Well,
I would
that,
say
yeah.
not pooping no. yourself.
No, I mean,
I'm sorry. I
we
don't, you know.
As long
I mean,
as it's
like,
not in a lake.
It was a rough morning.
But when
so
you poop yourself, are you saying you gambled and lost, or
yes,
you just
yes,
flat out let
yes,
it fly
again,
in your shorts?
Again. Second time during this whole run.
It really affects your stomach, right? So...
Yeah, it can. Yeah. I mean, I got to know not to gamble and lose.
Why?
But boy, did I really lose. Today was like one of the big doubles. It was a 16-strikeout Cub performance.
Did you
today.
Throw them out? Just throw them in one of those shopping bags and
it's
then
That's why
toss
I mentioned the lake. I went running upstairs. I salvaged my shorts, but the boxers were long gone.
Hey,
the boxers
honey,
were.
Honey, can you handle the woodpecker contractor outside? I just pooped myself. I got my hands full.
And then the walk of shame to my wife. And I said, babe, it's been one of those mornings.
And then Braxton is celebrating with 7 popsicles and dripping them all over Mason's head as he's trying to sleep.
I'm just trying to patch a few woodpecker holes, listen to the new morning show, not soil myself, and just, like, talk a little baseball.
That's as long as tomorrow.
You know what? That is, I don't think you're asking for too much,
no,
mister.
No, but it's been a rough one today.
You know what Cap would say, Sylvie? Just
take
wake
that.
Up and try and win a game.
Oh.
Just try and win a baseball game.
First,
just wake
first
up.
First of all, he'd
one
say,
popsicle,
take that.
One popsicle, one poop, one...
You'd take a poop, and he'd say, take that.
Chris, Oh, I didn't win a baseball game today.
I don't know how this didn't lead this show at two. I mean,
I said I just said screw it.
One pee, one whatever at a time.
Yeah, it's been. So anyway, Theo was on Caps Morning Show. So the point of me bringing this all up was I had a good excuse as to why I didn't listen to as much as I really wanted to listen this morning.
I was just sleeping.
And Cap had Theo on. Theo, always an engaging guest. And, you know, Chris Bryant is off to a slow start, and which means now the Cubs' leadoff hitter is off to a slow start, which means do the Cubs have a leadoff hitter? And Theo addressed the Cubs' leadoff situation.
I think, I think we've seen guys who, you know, have on-base skills go up there and suffered from it. And that's, that's something that we certainly would have wanted to avoid it, to avoid. I don't think signing Dexter, at that time, so that contract was realistic. We had to really stretch, given the rest of the roster and everything going on, to bring him back in 2016. And I'm certainly glad that we did. It's always something, right? There's always, you look at a team with, like, you know, over any significant period, 5 years, 10 years, there's always something that they always seem to lack. For the Cubs after Santa left, it was third base, I guess, when I was with the Red Sox.
Yep.
Yeah.
After we won in 04, for a while it was shortstop, and, you know, sometimes it's the closers. So there's, like, always one position that it seems like dogs the team over the years. And you can certainly, it's hard to argue against the fact that, you know, we've struggled to have the right leadoff guy, although, you know, a couple of years ago we led the league in on base. From the leadoff spot with a number of different guys, and everyone was complaining that we didn't have a leadoff guy. You know, that year I didn't really care because we got on base more than anyone else at the leadoff spot. The next year, I think we were last. I really cared that year. So ultimately, I just care about the production, but certainly, you know, you have one guy who's comfortable up there and gets on base, makes everything easier.
What do you think, Waddle?
You know how I feel. I've always been a fan of a guy like Dexter Fowler. Like, I get the mix and match stuff and some of the things he's talking about where they led the league in on-base percentage with a number of different options. But I just feel more comfortable when there's somebody going to the dish consistently to open a game that you can trust.
Yeah, what worries me is some of these guys who are good hitters have always put up their worst numbers at leadoff. And we always talk about KB liking a routine, KB liking knowing where he bats.
Right.
I mean, is that
he
just
told us that.
Right. And is this, whether he's playing with a nagging injury and he's thinking maybe a little about his contract, if having to play a role at leadoff is just another thing that has to go into the equation that maybe he shouldn't have to deal with if they had a normal leadoff guy?
Since Rizzo proved that he could do it, I've always thought, why not just put him there? You've got enough run producers behind him. Schwarber can knock guys in. Javi can knock guys in. Bryant can knock guys in. Contreras can knock guys in. I maybe it's silly to think, but I would say, I mean, maybe put Rizzo there. He sees a ton of pitches. His on-base percentage is always good.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at his
Leading
average
there.
And how good his on-base percentage is. Rizzo has really shown me a lot this year. Not that he needed to. But, like, I was even thinking over the weekend, boy, what would a Rizzo contract extension look like in the offseason?
I don't think you can do that, though. I really don't.
Even though he's a year away and
older,
you can't give him, like, a short-term deal to make him happy and you happy?
Well, I mean, but it's got to be, like, you know, you mentioned to Eddie with Crawford, it's going to have to be a team-friendly deal because you heard what Tom Ricketts said about their finances. So, I mean, I don't think...
What if you extended Rizzo for $90 million over 3 years? You added that. Yeah, maybe he made $100 million. Like, is that from his year 31 to 34, 35 season? Is that big of a deal?
Guy with a back, has dealt with some back injuries. Look, I think there are certain things in life that you can count on. Death, taxes, and Rizzo's going to hit 27 bombs. He's going to drive in 90. He's got to have an on-base percentage of what? 380.
And he's going to be a gold glove first
baseman. I mean,
And he's not old. You know, and that doesn't hamstring you long term. Something where I got to think that there's something there that they could do. But that's,
you know what? The funny thing is, too, and I talk about his back injury. These are the number of games he's played. Let's take 2020 out of the equation. He's played all 19. He's played in 146, 153, 157, 155, 160, 140, and 160. So
that's been Jesse's point. He thinks we panicked about the back.
I mean, that's been what Jesse said. That's a fair statement by Jesse, because we do kind of worry about the back, but at the end of the day, he's there. He's got a lifetime 375 on base percentage.
What else did Theo have to say, Chris?
So I think to go with this conversation, the guys asked him if ownership would be willing to spend at the trade deadline if needed. Here's Theo's response.
Yeah, well, I know our ownership wants to win more than anybody. I also know it's a more complicated landscape this year, not just for us, but for everybody. So there are going to be unique conversations held all around the game about is this more risk in acquiring a player this year when you're bringing him into this kind of environment when there's no guarantee about the integrity of the schedule or a postseason going forward. Is just everything is sort of to be determined, and then obviously every team is under tremendous financial duress, and our circumstances in particular have been well documented. So I think there's going to be a lot of unique conversations to be had. We're no different than that, but I know that Tom at his core wants to, he knows what winning looks like now. He knows what happens when you fall short, and he wants to win as much as anybody. So we'll see what happens, but the deadline market this year, it's so up in the air. There's only two or three teams that you could sit there with any certainty and say they're going to be sellers. So it's going to be a time when teams have to be creative if they want to get better.
Waddle, I'm less concerned about what they do at the deadline because of the way they're at, and more concerned about what they do in these off seasons coming up.
I'm with you. Listen, if I'm a team, I'm very, 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 very reluctant to make any type of move or trade unless it's a trade where I'm willing to acquire a guy I've had my eyes on and I want to sign him to a long-term extension. It's been part of what we're doing. I'm not making any last-minute deals trying to win it all in 2020 because there's just too many variables.
Not for a real prospect.
No.
No, if you've got a C-level prospect
right.
You got a guy who could help you, then maybe.
Yeah, you're not giving up an Eloy and a Dylan Cease for this season.
Let's play one more, Chris. The first one I think is on the list. Whether or not he's still confident in the team after the strikeout weekend that they endured against the Brewers.
Obviously, it stinks. It was three in a row, and it was a frustrating weekend. But I'm not concerned. I mean, this team is definitely up for the fight, and I think we'll find a way to move forward and keep playing great ball. I mean, Milwaukee, you got to tip your cap to those guys. They always play us tough. I mean, they never stop competing. And when we're playing those guys, our margin for error is just really small. And our formula for success this year has been great starting pitching, great defense, and grinding at bats. And we made a couple mistakes in those areas, and we were in a position to win all those games. And they were the more efficient offense. They hit a couple three-run homers, had a real quick three-run rally in the other game. Our homers were more solo. We didn't convert on some chances with a lot of guys on base. And their pen just got the better of the fight against our hitters for the most part. So, 3-1-1 losses against a tough competitor. We made a couple mistakes that just show that the margin for error in this division is really small. But in general, our guys had great energy, never stopped, grinding, and our focus is there. I mean, there's a lot more to love about this team than there is to be concerned about. I still feel that way after this weekend.
They ran a stat. I thought the graphic was on Marquee watching the game yesterday, but the stat about the number of one-run games, the winning percentage for teams that are best in one-run games, and I believe the Brewers were third. So it's not been just against the Cubs. It's been against everyone in the
Everybody,
league the last several
it
years.
It seems like a lot of the same games they've played against the Brewers these last couple of years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where they used to win these games, and they would go, and the Cubs fans would be so loud up north. And now in the last couple of years, it seems to have switched, where this team somehow, some way, just overcomes being shorthanded, and they find a way to beat
the Cubs.
How
about the other nugget that Len dropped on us yesterday in the broadcast? that Hader has never given up an earned run at Wrigley.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Holy craziness. Mother of mercy.
Nico had a really good at bat against him, but still not enough for the Cubs yesterday. So they have the doubleheader, 2 7-inning games. We can get into that. The White Sox fans saw what 7-inning games were like. But I've still got that post-Boylan buzz. After getting the news on Friday, the Bulls are in the midst of a coaching search.
Are we going to play a game?
We're going to play a game. Waddle and I intentionally did not read the interview with Jim Boylan that he conducted with Casey Johnson.
I did not read because I don't like to read. You didn't read because you wanted to play the game.
I wanted to play the game to see if we could predict what Jim Boylan would say. And let's see how we do coming up next. Plus at 5, we'll talk Bears with J.D.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, here to let you know, Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. And every day we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in the Chicagoland area. Today we salute Fatty's Pub and Grill in DeKalb. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Text now and stop into Fatty's today. I did hear Cap tell the story about Fatty's earlier today.
What was it, like the Crystal Palace?
Yes.
Or was it called the Crystal Bullet or something? Or like
it was something.
Him and Hoodie were talking about.
Yes, and it sounded like a gentleman's club.
Yes. It was very fun.
But now it's Fatty's.
Yes. Yeah, I've been to Fatty's before.
I don't think you want to go to a gentleman's club with that new name.
With Fatty's? No, yeah. I mean.
You want to go to a gentleman's club with the name of, what was it, the Crystal
Cruise and Chubbies?
No. That's probably a bad one, too, but.
I think it could be ironic.
It can be
though.
Anything. What were they? What was? What did Cap say the name of the place was originally? I guess it doesn't matter now.
Silver something or crystal something or. I was listening to that part.
I was too, and I forgot.
And Hoodie said that was the name of one of his dancers.
I heard that in New Orleans. Didn't he say? I think he said it in New Orleans.
Yes. Yes. All right. Let's play this game.
Okay.
Jim Boylan's out.
Hell yeah.
And the one thing he did provide us was with some of the goofier quotes ever. He was one of the worst coaches in Chicago sports history. But he would.
Was he worse than Bevington?
Yes, I think he was. Now, I'm not a Sox fan.
Right.
But as far as the bluster and the backstabbing and the timeouts down 25, the weird quotes.
I thought our hand pressure, our ball pressure.
I mean, there's just so much bad.
The talent, talk about talent, is the last thing on kind of my and John and Gar's radar.
Oh, boy. That's the worst one of all.
Well, but that's like that's just like the Mark Trussman thing where we're going to be selfish and undisciplined.
Yeah.
He was telling us the truth.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, sir.
We should have listened to him. When he said talent is not on our radar, we should have listened.
Wow.
All right, so he talked to Casey.
All right, how are we going to play this game?
Do you want to give us a subject of dollar, or do you want us to just riff? Because I know Jim Boylan is going to come out, and he is for sure going to say he has absolutely no regrets, that he loved what he did, that did he make a few mistakes? Yes. Would he change anything? The answer is no.
That
he worked his tail off, and he has so much respect for the players in that locker room, and he can't thank Jerry Reinsdorf, Michael Reinsdorf, and John Paxson enough for the opportunity that they gave him in coaching one of the historic franchises in NBA history.
You got this boiling guy down, bro.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, he's not gonna light the place on fire on his way out. You know, he still wants to work in the league.
Does he?
In some
capacity. I mean, he's cashing a check for at least this year, right?
Yeah.
For 1.8, yeah, or something like that.
But still, I mean, he's been in the league for 22 years. He's going to want to keep working in some capacity, assistant or water boy or whatever.
I wouldn't let him. I told you, I wouldn't let him coach Niles North. I wouldn't. If my friends at Niles North said, and they have a good basketball coach, we have an opening. What do you think if we hire that old Bulls coach? I would say no.
Not a chance.
I vote no.
I mean, a guy who can lead sprints and stuff?
There's nothing there. There's nobody home.
It's empty, isn't it?
So what? Well, like, what subjects did he touch on? Am I on to something here?
No, you're close. Here's the first one. I loved every minute. I'm not even going to try to do an impression.
Yeah.
I loved every minute of working for the Bulls, even the hard ones. And I invested myself fully in every aspect of the job.
I gave my heart. I gave my soul.
Always. He had to have said something like he always does about his goal when he came in was... he always talks about his marching orders.
Oh my God.
Bingo.
Really?
Bingo.
See, there
really?
You go.
Really?
See, Waddle, you
sure you didn't read this?
No.
Jerry and Michael and John, obviously Paxson, asked me to be more disciplined to the practice, to bring more discipline to the practice facility and practice floor. My marching orders were for us to practice harder, play harder, and defend better.
And suck.
We're going to keep grinding, brother.
Can I bring this up too, or should I keep guessing?
So that was just it. Was that why initially?
Well,
they were doing suicides, gassers, all kinds of stuff right after a game, right?
Right. That's how it started, and they almost had the mutiny then.
Remember what I said to you guys at that time, too? Is I said to you guys, look, I didn't know much about Jim Boylan. I know he'd been on Pop's staff. I know he'd worked with Tom Izzo. I know he had his own run as a coach in Utah.
For 4 years, and he got fired.
I said to you guys, he may turn out to be the greatest coach in the history of the NBA, but first impressions are lasting impressions. And I could never get it out of my brain, his first impression when he took over.
But he did nothing with the second, third, or fourth impression to make you
correct.
Change.
Correct, absolutely.
But by calling timeouts down 25.
And guys, he's also directly placing all the blame on those above, right? With that quote.
Yeah, because they forced him to worry only about hard practices.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what he was told to do, not on him.
But he complimented the players. A lot of players got better. I feel like I leave and we're in a better place today than when I took over.
Because if players had gotten better, he'd still be there because it's a group of young players that needed to develop.
But that's what he's saying.
Right, no, I know.
People could turn that around and say, you should have won more. With a young team and injuries, that doesn't always happen. But we competed.
You know, and
competed today to go from pooping his pants to making sure that those pants didn't get on anything.
That's how you compete.
That's
then you
how
do
you
a
compete.
Radio show.
Yeah.
I also want to thank the players. We practiced hard. We competed. We fought through some tough losses. It's that investment which made some of the goodbyes with his players, like Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. Quote. That's the only reason we do this, man, Boylan said.
I saw Mark Schanowski, who we had on the show on
You're
Friday.
Like, see you later.
And we all love our conversations with Mark because Mark's
the best,
fantastic. Yeah. And he said, look, I saw him tweet out that he never questioned Boylan's dedication to this team because he always was passionate about it. He just couldn't develop a player, nor could he connect with anybody.
No. One person who used to work for the Bulls organization told me that he is the quintessential used car salesman. Quintessential.
Say whatever he has to say to keep
whatever.
His job or to...
Yes, and that's what he did with the Reinsdorfs.
Yeah.
He sold them, and he made them believe. And for anyone, and Waddle, I saw this after I was on with you, that someone tweeted, boy, guys, and I've seen this before with other people, to celebrate somebody's firing.
Yeah,
let me tell you something. Let me give you a little history. Jim Boylan, it's 100% known in that locker room, in that building, that Jim Boylan backstabbed Fred Hoiberg. Jim Boylan did whatever he could to get that job and didn't give a crap about his boss at the time, Fred Hoiberg. And he threw him under the bus and got that job. Do not feel bad for a man who backstabbed his way to the head coaching gig and leaves with a $1.8 million contract that he's getting in the middle of a pandemic. In the middle of a pandemic when many people are looking to see where they're getting their next job.
Well, I think that
Don't cry for Jim Boylan.
That's an excellent point, one that we didn't mention on Friday about the fact that he got his job by, you know, talking bad about
He backstabbed him.
Fred
it is
Hoiberg.
Known. This is no secret. There is nothing hidden about that. He went behind the back of the head coach to get the gig. And anyone who thinks that, oh, guys, you're being a little too hard on a guy who just lost his job, that dude would run over anyone for the betterment of his own. So don't feel bad because we're happy as Bulls fans because our team is in a better direction.
Sylvie's red ass and ESPN Chicago's NBA coverage is brought to you by Kia. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give it everything, and by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
I'll leave you guys with this one. Boylan never apologized for unconventional methods or agreed with that characterization, such as an in-season conditioning emphasis when he first replaced Hoiberg, or late-game timeouts for teachable moments at the end of blowouts. He believed in his initial shock-and-awe approach, and he stuck to his beliefs whether they puzzled people, including sometimes his own players, or not. I don't worry about people who haven't coached critiquing me. I don't try to be a doctor.
I'm not a doctor, Jim.
What?
How do you even come up with that? I don't try to be a doctor.
I'm not a doctor, man. Just
You're
a ball
not a coach. And I won't let you coach my high school team. All right, the good, the bad, the dirty coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000, the good.
It's gone! Oh!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
And Waddle, we got a brand new sponsor for the good, the bad,
Whoa,
the dirty.
Do we really?
But it's an old friend. It's our friends at White Claw Hard Seltzer.
Okay.
Crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Hint. Available in now 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer.
I like it.
Made pure. Please drink responsibly.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking the claw.
That's right. It's awesome.
I think there probably still are, so I don't want to give people a faulty idea. Still, we want you to enjoy the White Claw, but also follow the laws of the land.
I'm with Waddle.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds cool, but yeah.
It sounded cool, but it felt a little irresponsible, and I'm here to tell everybody to please drink responsibly.
If it's on a T-shirt, it's true.
I'm good with it, Abdallah.
Sorry, officer.
I don't think we need to apologize for
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, officer. I mean, My T-shirt says no laws.
They're getting a little defensive over there, right. Black and white.
All right, guys, have at it.
We're just looking out for everybody.
Yeah,
all right, go for it.
What's your good, Waddle?
My good is the fact that ball is back. Pro ball is back. The fellas are cracking pads right now. First day of full pads. The testing, from what I understand, has been pretty good. I think that we've had some pretty good stuff go on in the NFL. And I feel good about it. Ball is back on the professional level, and I got tingles.
Okay. Like, I'm still a little guarded. I was guarded with baseball. I'm still guarded. But I'm optimistic that this is great. I mean, we still have all three sports going on, and boy, if we can get the NFL, that would be special.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I think it's the obvious, as you would say, Waddle. It's a low-hanging fruit, but how could you not give good and give the number one star to Corey Crawford? They're down 0-3.
Outstanding.
Crawford's the guy who just is coming back from COVID, did not have a lot of action. They're overmatched, almost 50 shots on goal. And Corey Crawford won that game for the Blackhawks, and it's well-deserved. And it's good to see him get the spotlight. Hopefully he's got a few more of these. But the Blackhawks are still alive. They play tomorrow at 9:30. Corey Crawford, my good. Abdallah, what do you got?
My good is the NBA playoffs are playing.
Yeah!
And there's hot NBA action all throughout the day. There was a game on at 12:30 this afternoon. The Raptors are playing right now. They're blowing out the Nets. And tonight, right here, you can hear the Mavericks, their first game, as they start their playoff run.
Against
the Clippers. Yeah, the Clippers. The Mavs and Clippers tonight at 8 o'clock after Bleck and Abdallah.
It was like, when are the playoffs getting here? When are they getting here? And then, boom, all of a sudden, we have like all these playoff games all of a sudden. Didn't Donovan Mitchell have a big game today?
I think
for
he had
Utah?
40, he had
57.
57. He had 49 at one point, and I stopped watching.
How about that? Donovan Mitchell with 57 points, but the Nuggets won, 135 to 120.
Yeah, as I saw, I think Freddie Huebner said, can you imagine having the Jazz and the points in this game because it went to overtime, and then they end up getting beat by 10.
They lost by 10, yeah. Black, welcome to the good, the bad, the dirty.
Thank you. I will stay NBA with you guys because what Damian Lillard did over the course of the last week and what he did on Saturday, getting the Blazers into the first round of the playoffs, it will face off against the Lakers. And that's not a great matchup for the Lakers as far as a 1-8 seeding goes. So I'm going to give my good to Damian Lillard. He has been fantastic. And I'm with you guys, excited to see what's going to take place with the NBA playoffs, because we were talking in the pre-show meeting about the NBA ratings, which have been down. I wonder if that kind of changes from today going forward.
It's tough because I don't know if the general sports fan, Black, knows when the NBA's on now.
Well, yeah, it's this whole play-in thing was very confusing. For someone who is all about the league, like, it was tough at first to figure out, like, how are they doing this? Who's playing? What games? What does it mean?
I think he went through stages. It was like, wow, there is pro sports. This is great. Well, this really isn't meaningful until we get to the postseason. And now we're in the postseason. Like I said to you guys, I was initially in, then my interest waned, and now my interest is back because the playoffs are here. So
it's just tough. It's tough for people to get in a rhythm. You used to be able to tune in at 7 o'clock and know game one of a series would be here. Then you'd get 2 days later, game two, and you could continue the drama. Now, if a game's being played at 2 and people are at work, are you really starting to get involved in the Denver-Utah series? You know what I mean? And it's I got to see where this goes. But I'm just excited to have any sports. So what's your bad, Waddle?
My bad is the holes in the Cubs' bats. I don't know why they keep going to the dish with giant holes in their bats. Struck out a collective, I believe, 43 times in their last three games of their series with the
Brewers. You'd be correct.
The
43,
Brewers.
Yes.
Their final three games of the Brewers, they struck out 43 times. You got to find some bats that don't have holes in them.
Bad. Yep. That's absolutely true. My bad is people continuing to rip players who opt out. You know, I know Tuukka Rask was a little bit weird in the way that happened, but I just think that everybody's different, and we've never been through a time like this. And if somebody wants to, you said this, Waddle, about like Clevinger and Plesac. If you don't want to do it, opt out. Yeah. And some guys are just saying, look, I can't do this. Lorenzo Cain did it for the Brewers, and I just think if guys opt out, leave them alone.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
No problem with that.
Abdallah, you're bad.
My bad goes to the fine students at the University of Alabama. I don't want to yell at them because I know they're young, and they're probably dumb because they're young, and the youth will do dumb youth things. But the picture going around and then commented by Greg Byrne, their athletic director, and then the mayor of Tuscaloosa comments on it as well, of a line outside of a bar that's very large, and everyone's standing close together, no social distancing, no masks, and everybody's saying, well, do you want football? Do you want Alabama to play? Do you want this? Do you want that? Listen, I look at this both ways. If you're going to be out, wear a damn mask, even if you're going to be at a bar. Do you want to go to a bar? That's fine. Go to the bar. Just wear your damn mask while you're in line, and then when you get and you sit down outside or inside, whatever, you can take your mask off, follow the protocols. The second thing is everybody's saying, well, football's not going to work because these kids are at bars. If the football players aren't associating
I've been
with
trying
the
to
kids
tell you that, bro.
That are at bars, then they'll be fine. If they're not going to classes with these kids because they've got their own e-learning, if they're not going to the bars with these kids, and I don't know if they are or aren't, so I'm not one to comment, but if the football players, if Nick Saban and the other coaches and Dabo Swinney and all these other coaches are saying, look, you guys are here working your asses off to play, don't go to bars. Don't go to parties. We're trying to win a national championship here. And if you want to, then opt out, because you're going to infect the rest of us, and you do what the Indians did in baseball, and you say, look, if you see another player that's not using the protocols and not wearing a mask, point them out because you're putting us all at risk.
They should have a COVID house where, like, you send Plesac, you send Clevinger, you send anybody who's a dummy.
Do like a survivor then or something like that?
And you put them all in one sports COVID house.
Can you see if they survive?
I don't know. But
that's reality TV.
You know what? Get them all in the same area. Get them away from the otherwise healthy area.
I don't disagree with you, Abdallah, so don't yell at me. But all I'm saying is, if these professional athletes who get paid to do this for a living, and there are a lot less of them, can't commit to being in the hotel on the road, like a Zach Plesac, like Clevinger, like the Cardinals, like the Marlins. There are 100 players on the Alabama roster. It only takes a couple who are kids And one of these guys may not even be like third string, but he's on the team and he's at practice and he wants to go to a party and he could bring the whole damn thing
down. I get it. I understand. And
that's why I think it's hard to really compare the two.
You look at schools like Rutgers this weekend, again, reported another 30 cases on their team. And then you've got a school like Michigan State, who's been told that they're not playing this year. I know Rutgers was told they're not playing this year either. But Michigan State tested all their student athletes again from August 7th to August 14th. No positive cases there. So Rutgers is like, yeah, we probably shouldn't be playing. And then Michigan State's like, well, what the hell? We've got no positive tests.
Very complex. Mm. Black, what do you got for your bad?
Roel Ramirez, 4 home runs in 1 inning. He gave him up for the Cardinals yesterday, back to back to back to back. His ERA now is at 81.
Yes.
That's terrible. That's bad.
Awful.
That's my bad.
All right, let's get to our dirties coming up next. And Waddle, you need to help me with mine.
Oh.
Because I'm very conflicted about it, and it has something to do with football.
Okay.
And that's right up your alley.
It's not this morning?
No.
Because I'm not helping out with that.
No, it wasn't this morning. I already gave that. I buried the lead. But no, this is I threw it away. Nice. It is in the garbage, and I'm proud to say that Tuesday is garbage day, so the cans will be out on the doorstep tonight.
I feel for your garbage people.
I'm getting them cleaned on Wednesday as well for the first time. All right, all that coming up next.
Look for the ComEd lower price sticker at participating retailers near you to save instantly on energy-efficient LED bulbs from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/instantly.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You were giggling at Yurko too, weren't you? I heard that this morning, and I was giggling at that.
It sounded like he cut off Graham. Like, Graham wasn't done talking, and Yurko was done hearing him.
And then a car went by, too. Like, they implemented, like, a car driving by.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
In the middle of the good, the bad, the dirty, then we'll get to Bears. Actual football practice stuff being done.
Oh, nothing better.
And there's already a scorecard. I see the Tribune already put like a scorecard out.
Yes.
I mean, all we have are these practices to judge them by with no preseason.
Well, we're going to talk to JD here in a few minutes. And like, there's no teacher or professor of football that I trust more than him. So,
yes. So what is your dirty? Because I'll need help with mine.
My dirty is at the end of that game last night, DeBrincat had the empty netter. Did you see, do you pronounce his name, Pacioretty?
Yes.
With the slash. He was fined $2,500, but like in the world of hockey, slashing at a guy's wrist like that in a moment like that has got to be. Yeah, I thought it was double dirty, double deep down and dirty, so that's my double deep down dirty.
I mean, like $2,500 fine.
That's nothing. I thought it'd been more. But.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So I think we've discussed this before, guys. The video of Alex Smith and his family is awesome.
I'm glad you brought that up.
What a moment. If you missed it, Alex Smith and the surgeries and how his life was on the line. At one point, his wife, in the middle of this documentary, says to the doctors, just maybe let's cut off the leg just to save him.
Oof.
Because he had such a bad infection in the leg. And it looks horrible the way it healed, but it did heal. And now he's been cleared for football activity in his whole. What a worker. And to get to this point, they're all celebrating with champagne. But Waddle, I feel dirty as a guy who loves football and likes Alex Smith. I know it's his life. I don't want to see him on the field
again. I felt
again.
The same thing when he came down the steps, and you can tell like that the leg. He was wearing the compression sleeve, but you can tell, like, there's still a limp there. I'm with you. Like, listen, as you said, it's one of the more honorable missions any athlete has ever been on to try to get back to his profession. I'm with you. I'm afraid he's going to get hurt again, and I don't want to see that.
Was it a limp because he was wearing the compression sleeve, or was it a limp because he has a limp?
Well, no. It wasn't because of the compression sleeve. Okay. I think he had the compression sleeve on because I think it truly is. It's a hideous look.
If you would see the leg, but like he is cleared for football.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like they were debating today on Get Up, like, would they really play him?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a tough look for me, too.
So I'm confused. So I feel dirty about it. I think it's been dirty great the way he's come back.
Yeah.
Awesome. What a testament to the man.
Totally with you.
But I feel so skittish about it. Yeah. So, all right, boys, wrap us up with your dirties.
My dirty goes to the bubble skirmishes that we've been seeing in the NBA. I talked about the NBA a little bit earlier. Now there's video. It wasn't really a skirmish, but it was Westbrook walking by LeBron. He's like, hey, buddy, how you doing? And, like, guys are seeing each other on their way to these playoff games and in the hotels beforehand. Like, it's getting chippy. Guys are getting chippy on the bench with each other. So now that this, like, actually matters for the knockout stages, this is getting real. It's getting
love
good.
It. Yeah.
So what do they don't socialize if they see each other? It's like two guys who play for opposite teams walking the halls of a high school.
One guy looks at him and says, take that. The other guy looks at him and says, you take that. And then he looks back at you and goes, take that.
So it's like our hallways during the day here at ESPN 1000.
Take that. Behind the bike racks after school.
And Bleck, what's your dirty?
If there's anything you should know about me heading into joining your show, it's I am all about Kyler Murray clickbait. Mm. So when I see a Kyler Murray story, I am all about it because I think he's fantastic. There's a story
He's dreamy, isn't he, as a ball player?
Absolutely. There's a story on ESPN.com about his workout regimen in this offseason, and he lost weight but gained 9 pounds of muscle.
Nice.
And he has kept his flexibility, guys. That's dirty.
You saw Mitch was working out with all his receivers in the offseason, too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, no. I know that. But, see, the difference here is Murray's completing his passes with no defense around
him.
Where I'm sure Mitch sailed a few.
That's fair.
So there you go. It's dirty because Kyler Murray keeping the flexible body his motion is. But also gaining muscle.
You know,
and
it's
dirty.
A great point because remember when he was coming out, my concern wasn't so much his height. It was I didn't know if he was thick enough to take the pounding that he was going to take because he is a guy that does get out on the edge some.
Increased flexibility and range of motion meant to prevent injuries.
Yeah, if I could go back in time and do anything as a former quasi-athlete, it would be stretch more. That's the one thing I would have done.
That's what Tom Brady does. You know, it doesn't lift so much. Right. They're all about the pliability, right?
Yes.
All right, bring him up to later, Kyler Murray, Black, later in the show. Because as we talk football here in the 5 o'clock hour, who is leading the Bears quarterback competition? JD got to see for himself. He'll tell us in 2 minutes.